In the name of Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, amen. The gospel lesson in Luke 24. The women did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were perplexed. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. They were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men, that is, angels, said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He is not here, but he is risen from the dead. This is the cry of all Christians echoing the proclamation of the angels this glorious day, that the Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. Easter Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week, the day God began his creation and created the light. And the light shines this first day of the week on Easter from the tomb, the glory of Christ. Easter is also the third day. Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. He rested in the tomb on the second day, Sabbath. And on the third day, he was raised, just like Jonah came from the belly of the fish after 3 days. And Easter is also the eighth day. Sabbath was the seventh day of rest. The eighth day, the day after the Sabbath, was the new beginning of God's creation. As babies were circumcised on the eighth day, as there were 8 people in the ark with Noah, God has begun anew now in the resurrection, making all things new. Now, one thing that must be said initially about the resurrection is that the eyewitness evidence for the resurrection of Christ is indisputable. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 1 Corinthians, Romans, and in fact the whole New Testament catalogs the eyewitness testimony for the resurrection of Christ, the historical proof that would stand up in a court of law. Christians do not believe the resurrection because it makes us feel good, although it does give us great joy. Christians don't believe in the resurrection because we really wish it to be true. Christians believe the resurrection because it is true. Eyewitnesses in space, time, and history saw the crucified Lord, ate with him, saw the marks and the scars where he had been crucified. As you leave today, I've cataloged all the evidence for the resurrection and some graphs and charts for you to take home and read today on your own as you get home this evening, to read all the glorious accounts of the resurrection for yourself and to rejoice in Christ's resurrection for you. But the historical account of the resurrection, which is true and which Christians proclaim, has great import on our daily lives. And that's what we consider. If Jesus was not and is not in the empty tomb, he is risen. And if he told us on the third day he'd be raised again, and it happened, then the fact that Jesus says he is coming again in glory, that will also happen. It hasn't happened yet, but we remember and believe his word. Now, in the intro today that we sang from Exodus, Moses sang a song about the triumphs of the Lord. The Lord God had rescued Israel from Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. But hard-hearted Pharaoh and his armies and horses and riders were drowned in the sea as God led his people through the Red Sea, eventually into the Promised Land. This is a picture of the glorious triumph that we have in Jesus Christ. We've been saved from a watery death. He is our strength because we don't have strength in ourselves. He is our song. At Easter, we sing joyfully the psalms and the hymns. He is our salvation from sin and death and hell. He is at God's right hand with all authority in heaven and on earth, and his glorious power and omnipotence will be seen when he returns with those holy angels on the last day. Right now, His steadfast love and mercy is with you every day. In Christ, we are redeemed people. We've been bought back by the blood of Christ. And the holy abode and place, the mountain to whom we turn for our salvation, is Christ Himself. For Christ is God's temple and present among us. He is God's sanctuary. There is where we meet God. He reigns forever and ever. He reigns eternally. And now, as we await our own exodus into the promised land, we too will see that triumph as we go through a watery grave and come into God's promised land because Christ is risen. Moses sang a song of triumph, but so does Luke, who records in Luke 24 the resurrection account. The day before this, it was Saturday, it was Sabbath, when people would rest. Fittingly, Jesus' body rests in the tomb that had been hewn out of rock. But now when the women come early dawn on Sunday morning, expecting to find the body and wondering who's going to roll the stone away, they come to the place with their aromatic spices to anoint the body of Jesus. But the tomb is empty, and the stone has been rolled away. Just as Eve was in the garden with the Lord in the Garden of Eden, now these women are in the garden looking for the Lord. But the body of the Lord Jesus was gone. This was their discovery. They looked in, and it was gone. The only thing left were the linen cloths that had been wrapped around Him. The stone had been rolled away, and they didn't find Him. And they're perplexed in great consternation. Then the two men in dazzling apparel, which are angels, speak to them. Just as that there were angels at the nativity of Christ at Christmas, now there's angels at His resurrection on Easter, speaking the glad tidings. And these two angels are in dazzling apparel, white clothing, so that the women are afraid. They fall on their faces to the ground. But this is the message. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. They proclaim the resurrection, these glorious angels, to these women. And there they hear these words. Remember, He told you in Galilee that the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified by God's divine necessity, and on the third day He would be raised. Then they remembered His words. This is the key. Remembering His word. Christ in great detail had explained that He as the Son of Man had come to die in our place and to be raised on the third day. They should have expected it to happen. And by the way, the Christian proclamation is the physical resurrection of the body. His body came back to life, the same body that had been crucified. And on resurrection day and evening, He gave the proof of that by eating with them later in the day, by showing Him marks on His hands and side. It's not a ghost, it's Me. I am risen from the dead. Jesus had told Mary and Martha before He raised Lazarus that He was the resurrection and the life. And now Jesus gives them proof. The women who remembered were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them. And they hear this joyous news, and they run from the tomb to tell the 11 apostles. Judas had hanged himself, so now there's only 11. And what do the 11 apostles do on Easter Sunday? They think it's idle talk, they don't believe them, and they think that they're delirious. But Peter rose. He ran to the tomb. The other Gospels say John went with him. And they stooped and they looked in. And they saw the linen cloths carefully folded up on the stone slab where the body of Jesus had been. He marveled and went away amazed. Later that night, Peter and the 11 would see Jesus themselves. And Jesus would admonish them and say, "Why didn't you believe? I told you I would be raised on the third day. The women came and bore testimony, but you wouldn't believe them." They would believe, And indeed, they would lay their lives down for Christ. And the whole theme of the book of Acts is that Christ was crucified for our salvation and was raised from the dead. Of this, they said, we are eyewitnesses. So Moses proclaims God's triumph to us today, and so does Luke. And lastly, St. Paul in the epistle lesson. St. Paul proclaims something for you and me. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits, and we will follow him in our own resurrection. Paul said Christ was raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. When the first fruits are brought out, then later on will come the whole harvest. And we are the harvest when he comes. Our bodies will also be raised incorruptible. This man Christ has brought the resurrection from the dead. He is the second Adam. And in the second Adam we shall all be made alive. At his coming, as he raises those who belong to him, he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, and his reign will remain forever. And he will destroy every earthly rule and authority and power. All the enemies will be put under his feet. And the last enemy he will destroy is death. Praise be to God. Death will finally be destroyed. The old is gone and the new has come. Paul is describing Jesus as the second Adam, who undid the curse of the first Adam. Fulfilling Genesis 3, he crushed the serpent's head, but was bruised himself upon the cross. But in his glorious resurrection, he has taken our place as our substitute. He is your redeemer, your intercessor, your friend, and your savior. Through his wounds you have been healed. And God has declared you in his courtroom innocent, without blemish in his sight. And the righteousness of Christ is yours through faith in him, and in whom you are clothed in your baptism. I conclude with this reality for our lives. Christ's resurrection is a historical fact, and eyewitnesses give testimony. But it is also the stuff of our everyday life. Every day we die, we are buried, and we are raised with Christ. We drown the old Adam so the new man can come forth. This is the reality of the resurrection for you and me every day. We, in a mystical way, were connected to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our baptism. When we come to the Lord's table and receive his body and blood, the same body and blood given on the cross and raised in the resurrection, here you receive Christ's body and blood for the remission of your sins. When your ears hear the word of absolution spoken to your ears, those are the words of the living Christ telling you your sins are forgiven. When you listen to the gospel that is read and preached each Lord's Day, and when you read and study the written word of God on your own, there Jesus is with you. The risen Christ speaks his word to you, and you pray your prayers to him. His body is present among us in word and sacrament. We've already died, and so we will be raised with him on that last day. Isaiah, when he described this morning the new heavens and the new earth that God has created and promised, says, "Be glad, rejoice. You are the blessed of the Lord. This is the new Jerusalem that's coming. It's the holy mountain, the peaceable kingdom. It's paradise, the new garden of heaven where God walks among his people." All of this is assured to us in Christ's resurrection. And as surely as his promise to be raised again came true, also his promise to come on the last day to raise us is true. We must wait in holy and joyful anticipation for this last day. But until we do, we will proclaim with the apostles and Christians of all the ages the joyous Easter proclamation. I will say the Lord is risen, and you will say he is risen indeed twice, and then alleluia, amen. We join in this Easter proclamation. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen.
Alleluia. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which transcends all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds unto life everlasting. Amen.